Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Haunted Ozark Hotel, a talk with Wesley Fox. It started as a dream of a structure to not only help those building a community, but also a place to stay for those who would eventually visit a beautiful plot of land in the Ozarks of Missouri. What would happen to this property over its life would be almost anything but expected. From becoming a nursing facility with a very dangerous reputation to a B&B that could never quite be completed because no one would come back to work. All the way to a possession. This is a story of a haunted hotel, a haunted Ozark hotel. We discuss the story with paranormal investigator Wesley Fox.
From everything I've ever understood and was able to find, you know, history was at first was like really hard to find unless you just happen to talk to that right person. But we were able to talk to some of the, I think it was, she was a nurse originally that worked at the building. Mm-hmm. She said back, the sign out front says 1 year. It's like 1920 something. I forgot right top of my head. But they said the building was actually built during the same time the power site dam was. Mm-hmm. Because that's what supposedly they housed the workers.
Sure.
And during that time, it was the Ozark Beach Hotel. And in the very, very beginning stages of that.
Wow.
But they said that the first floor was near the kitchen area, of course. Mm-hmm. Where they could get a meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner. And then also the second floor is where everyone was housed at, supposedly. And then the third floor was kind of like a brothel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Self-explanatory there.
Sure, sure.
So, but, you know, I've heard that that's not exactly true. I've heard that it was just, you know, the one floor for a while. So, I mean, you hear different things.
Yeah.
But I know by the 1920s, it did have its full three floors.
Okay.
Now, and it was still the Ozark Beach Hotel.
Now, at this time in the 1920s, what is life like there in Forsyth, Missouri?
Just like it was with the gangsters. The gangsters were running wild in the Forsyth area as well.
Okay.
Especially over on Rockaway Beach. That mm-hmm. was actually known for one of Al Capone's little hideouts.
Sure. So you have like the gangsters and everything running around there. Is that also kind of attracting the public and tourists and people, you know, just trying to get a little taste of the excitement of that time with, you know, just kind of life being kind of crazy in that area and kind of secluded?
Yeah, because, you know, during, I would say that time, you know, that place was more popular than Branson was.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And, which is kind of hard to believe that now. But, you know, even with the gangsters there at the hotel itself,
yeah,
you know, that place was kind of being ran by the gangsters.
Mm-hmm.
They had, you know, Al Capone stayed there. And no others, you know, off the top of my head that stayed there other than possibly oh my God, what's that guy's name? I can't think.
Dillinger.
There okay. You go.
Yeah.
But there's a possibility that he possibly stayed there, but you know, nothing proven there.
Yeah. They were both fans of having areas in their hideouts that were, you know, secluded somewhat, you know, but always, you know, somewhat close to somewhat of a civilization and somewhat of being able to be around people, you know, to a certain extent, not necessarily hiding out in the middle of a city, but their own kind of little areas like this. Up in Wisconsin, there was the same sort of spots, very similar to what he had in Missouri.
Oh, yeah, it would have been kind of perfect for him to kind of hide out and get away.
Mm-hmm.
So walk me more through the history of this building. We have the kind of the gangster era shortly after it's built and is sitting there. And it's a large building. You know, it was an impressive structure of the time.
I believe it's 15,000 square foot. Okay. I do believe, you know, pretty good size.
Mm-hmm.
After, I want to say the 1930s or 40s, somebody bought the building and it was converted into a kind of a hospital / nursing home.
Okay.
You know, you hear both, but I think originally it was more of just a nursing home for a few years.
Okay.
And they would use, once again, the first floor would be the kitchen area and kind of where the staff had their different quarters and stuff. And then the second floor was kind of what they used mostly with the patients, where originally I think the third floor wasn't being used too much with that first group that come in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the second group that came in 5 to 10 years later. So now we're probably somewhere in the early 50s, the late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
They had, once again, it was more of a / hospital at this point and kind of a psychiatric hospital because people was there that wasn't exactly in their right minds.
Okay.
And from what I've read and studied, the people that were there, the owners / administration people were not very nice to the patients. They okay. were really mean, nasty. They would just take them off into the showers there on the second floor, and I guess they just hose them off.
Mm-hmm.
Put them on back the other way. During that time, you know, they didn't watch their people, but they had a young 16 year old girl that was sick and she kind of wandered out and fell off the balcony. Wow. Off the third floor balcony during that time period.
Did she die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She died within just a couple hours later.
Yeah.
And then you go there, then it was owned by I cannot think of names today, but the lady's name was Mary.
Okay.
She was a doctor. She was a local doctor. She was actually really a really good lady. You know, she was the type of doctor that, you know, if you didn't have the money to pay for it, she'd take a trade. You know, sure. You want to give her a chicken for her to check you out, whatever, that yeah. was fine.
Okay.
So it wasn't all about money. Her, it was all about helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And she studied more, you know, did more of the nursing home. When I actually got to interview her, one of her daughters, and she said that when they lived there, you know, her mom basically used, you know, the first floor as the office, just like, you know, everybody else did originally.
Mm-hmm.
Then the kitchen area, and then the staffing, and then the second floor was used for, you know, their patients. And then when they had it, the third floor was where they slept at the time.
So it's like their personal house. They lived in yeah. the property. Okay.
Yeah. They lived at the property during that time period. It's not confirmed, but it's rumored that there was lots of babies that were birthed there.
Okay.
During that time. I don't know if that's true or not. It may have been, you know, the earlier people.
Mm-hmm.
But after, let me see, she left, I want to say, I think she had it all the way up into the 70s, maybe early 80s, until she retired. And then it became just a, you know, regular nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
Or supposed to have been. But I interviewed a nurse that lived there, and she said, you know, they say it was a nursing home. She said, but let me tell you, she goes, there'd be times I'd pull into work and I would see some of these patients sitting on the porch trying to pull each other's toenails off with pliers.
Oh God.
So they couldn't have been in their right minds.
Sure.
And during that time, I know they were starting to get some of the freaky stuff going on. It was during that time period.
Mm-hmm. And this would have been early 80s or so when we're okay.
Yeah. Late 70s, early 80s. And I believe it stayed that business all the way up until the 90s when, once again, it was another nursing home. Then after that went out of business in the late sometime in the 80s, 90s, because, you know, it was vacant there for a while, too. Mm-hmm. But it was a... I think it was during that time when one of the Branson showgirls, that they called her, you know, she worked, you know, one of the shows there in Branson, she mm-hmm. bought it, and she started to, you know, renovate it, and she actually got one room done, and that was it. Then she sold and got out. Never heard why, if she ran out of money or if something spooked her out.
Yeah.
What? Never really heard.
And her intent was to turn it into what, a bed and breakfast?
I believe so. Okay. I know the next business is when it actually became the historic, they called it the Historic Honeymoon. Well, yeah, I think they called it Historic Honeymoon Hotel because it was, you know, bed and breakfast then.
Yeah.
They actually have weddings and all that stuff. And then from what I understand, they had some wedding planners that were running, you know, I guess working with the owners, but they were taking people's money to, you know, to plan these weddings. And then they just kind of disappeared with the money, left the owners with a lot of debt.
Uh-huh.
So the owners had to sell. And I know from that period, it stayed, you know, basically empty for years.
Mm-hmm.
It was empty when we started investigating it in 2015. I know a gentleman that owned it. He actually lived in Tulsa, and he had it on the market for, I think, a good 3 years before it sold.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it sold in the summer of 2016. And I know that's when they were supposed to be doing some renovations, and they had some break-ins where people broke in and tore up a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that happened after I was already in Ohio. But just as recently as May, me and Nikki went down there and to visit my son. And we decided, you know what, let's go buy the bed and breakfast just for the heck of it.
Sure.
And we were out there, and now the place is actually just one big residence. They have it just as a house.
So someone is actually living in the property?
Yeah. From what we've seen, they're living in it just like, yeah, just regular residence, because we started to walk up and we was going to see if they were renting out rooms or something. I mean, we would have rented one in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But we just kind of got right up to the little driveway there from across from the park.
Uh-huh.
You can see where this is a private residence. Stay out. Like, oh, so we just stepped right on back.
Wow. Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.